If you have been paying attention over the past few weeks as we have made our way to Advent season, these 4 weeks of when the candles are lit, it's the time that we not just celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but I pray that we're meditating on Him. I pray that we understand that His birth here was the start of His earthly ministry. And please be careful, the ministry of Jesus Christ started long before His earthly ministry. Amen? He was in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we start to at least see the ministry of Jesus Christ in the beginning. So I pray that we understand that the birth of Jesus Christ was the start of His earthly ministry. Jesus had been very busy even up to that point. And as the resurrection of Jesus Christ took place, we look at, well, if you're resurrected, you must have passed away, you died. Please don't look at the cross as the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, because He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, even now, interceding on your behalf. So let's keep in mind that when Jesus was born and when He died here was just a small part of who He is too. But as we've made our way into Advent, I want us to sort of keep in mind the progression that we have made over the past couple weeks, and maybe you didn't even realize it. So if you have your bulletin there in your sermon insert, would you please write down the exact moment? That was our first lesson. That was our first teaching. The exact moment was, out of all the time of mankind so far, in the exact moment, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son here. It was the exact perfect time for Jesus to come. It was not God the Father looking down and going, okay, well, this would be a really good time if I had my Son born there. It was from the beginning. God had this in mind, that at this point in time would be the perfect fullness of time that His Son come to this earth. It was in God's perfectness, He decided this is the perfect time. And in that moment, Jesus made His way here for His earthly ministry. Secondly, was the exact method. It wasn't that God is determining how this now is going to unfold. He already had the plan in place. This is how He would bring His Son into this world. This is how Jesus would now proceed in His earthly ministry here. It was now, this will be the time of His death, resurrection, and His ascension. It was the perfect, exact method that God had in mind. God used ordinary people to get the message out. The method was absolutely perfect. And then God would bring the exact message to mankind. That exact method is an easy one to see in the life of Jesus Christ, because He looked at you the same way that He looked at people when He was here in His earthly ministry. The purpose, the message of Jesus Christ was that He loved everybody. Now I want you to think about that for just a second. Jesus Christ loved everybody. We may have some difficulty with that because we're looking at people through us. And to be quite honest, we have difficulty loving everybody. There's some people that we just have problems loving. Well, Jesus had problems loving some people too. But the overwhelming message was that He loved them enough that He died for them. And by the way, He loved you enough that He died for you. This morning is the exact person. The Savior, the King that would be born here, had to be the exact person. It couldn't be somebody else. It had to be the person of Jesus Christ. It had to be. It could not be that God would pick somebody else, born here in this world to now bring the entire message that God had planned for mankind. It could only be one person. It had to be the exact person of Jesus Christ. It could only be Him. And we'll look at Him in just a minute. Have you ever made your way through this world, through your school years, through your family, through your work, through your church, through the life that you've lived here? Have you ever looked at a person, have been in interaction with that person, and just realized you really don't care for that person? Now, quite honestly, it would be fantastic if we could get along with everybody, and we wanted to be with everybody, and we wanted everybody as a friend, and wanted them to look at us as being a friend. But quite honestly, there are some people that you just don't care for. There are some people that if you have a choice, you pull away from them. You don't gravitate to them. There are some people that you just don't want to be around. Why is that? Why are there some people that you just don't become buddy buddies with? We have those people in our lives. But you see, all of those people seem to fall into just one category. And we're not big fans of that category because that category is one where they claim to be something that they're not. They claim to be something they're not. We might have another name for them. And it may be that we're more characterizing them as pointing right to them, but we would call them fakes. They attempt to be something that in true life they're really not. There's the same word we might use is they're show-offs. But you remember in school when a teacher asks a question, and they're always the one that's going, when nobody else had their hand up, they pick me, pick me. They're always the one that knew the answer. They're always the one that needed the most attention. You knew they were there. They were show-offs. I am something. Sit up, take notice of how important I am. But they could not live up to the claim of who they say they were. We may call them an imposter. Is they appear to be one thing, but in reality, they're something completely different. They are attention seekers. Please look at me. You see, they're fakes. And right now you're going through your mind and you're going through all the people that you know and you're starting to label them. Well, this person really thinks they're something. You see, we don't really get along with fakes. What we get along with are people who are honest and we can see and watch them and then see that when we're watching them, they match up with who they say they are. I'll just make the statement and I'm going to move quickly on so that none of you want to share or remark. But one group of ones who want to appear to be one thing but are really something else, most of them, not all of them, we would label as politicians. They seem to be fake. It's like they have a big concern about you, but then all the legislation that they're bringing is actually opposed to what you're thinking. There's a new term, and I'm hoping I have this right, but the term is not a fake. You call them a poser. A poser is somebody who appears to be one thing, but really they're not that. They are an imposter. They're a fake. All of them have trouble living up to who they claim to be. And they can't. The main question I want you to consider this morning is this. Is Jesus Christ an imposter? Well, I haven't got to the sermon yet. Is Jesus Christ an imposter? Is Jesus Christ a fake? Is he different than what he claims to be? You see, here's the thing, Christians, is that if you're saying, nope, he's not an imposter, he's not a fake, he is the real thing, The question is, can you back that up? And I'm sorry to say that most Christians cannot. Most Christians cannot back it up. What we say is, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And then someone comes up and says, prove it. And we fall apart and we get nervous because now the one memory verse that I had memorized, I don't have memorized anymore. And now I can't, how am I going to prove that Jesus is who He said He was going to be? I know Christians. I know that when somebody comes at us or adversity rises up, lots of times we cower down and we cannot answer their questions. And it's the Word of God who says you better be able to defend the stance that you have in me. It's called apologetics, but yet we can't do it. Maybe this morning will help you. So I'm asking, take notes. Take and put these scriptures down. And when adversity comes, when somebody says, this Jesus was just a really good guy, you can say, but He was more than that. When Jesus Christ was born in this world, we have to understand and we have to be able to communicate with people that when Jesus was born here, He did not carry the greatest credentials. Please understand this. When Jesus Christ was born, He was not the most influential baby ever born. We need to understand that Jesus Christ, God in human form, cried once in a while. We have to realize that Mary had to change His diapers. We have to realize that Jesus Christ was fully man and fully God. And we have to realize that when Jesus was born here, He was not on everybody's invitation list to every party because He was really something. He was born with little or no credentials. As far as Him being popular and influential, He was not. And it hardly seems fitting that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would have come to this earth with the credentials or lack of credentials that He really had. Keep this in mind. Jesus Christ, when He was born in this world, was born to ordinary people. Now, I'm going to say they were ordinary. They were common people. But they were extraordinary people. They were extraordinarily common people. Because both Mary and Joseph were considered righteous in the eyes of God. That's hard to find. Both of them. Mary was a poor village girl. We have been to Nazareth. It's an awesome little town, but it ain't much. Even today, Nazareth is not much of a town. It's up in the mountains, and ain't much there. It was less during the time of Jesus Christ. And here is Mary, a poor girl, probably about 12 to 13 years old, and Gabriel comes and says to this 12 or 13-year-old girl, you're going to get pregnant. And you're going to give birth to the Son of God. A village girl in the town of Nazareth. By the way, as Jesus grows up, there's a famous little question that Nathanael asks. Can anything good come from Nazareth? You see, that town didn't even have a good reputation. But Mary and Joseph were both of Nazareth. And consider Joseph a carpenter. I imagine that Joseph brought in enough income from being a carpenter that he could support his family. But I am confident he was not driving a Mercedes. He would have brought in just enough money to keep the family afloat. And by the way, Jesus was not the only child of Mary and the earthly father, Joseph. They had many of them. So we have a very young girl and a carpenter. They are the common folk, the common earthly parents of Jesus Christ. That doesn't carry a lot of weight. And here is the Son of God who's born in a barn. Doesn't seem like the best place to have the Son of God be born. Maybe a palace would have been better. maybe Herod should have been kicked out and Jesus Christ born in the palace. But no, the exact method was that he had to be born in a stable, in a feeding trough. He didn't even have a crib. Doesn't appear like the start of Jesus Christ in this world was that much. It would not have caught normally anybody's eye because it was so plain and mundane. Jesus did not carry a lot of credentials into this world. He would have had to establish his credentials while he was in this world. Was Jesus a fake? Was he an imposter? Or is Jesus who he says he is? You better be able to prove it. You better be able to take somebody in here and show them that Jesus is who he says he was. Because if you can't, you're not carrying your weight. And I'm telling you this, it's not good enough to say, well, it says in the Bible that God. You see, that's not good enough. You have to be able to take them to God's word and show them. And by the way, they will probably even doubt this. So you better know about this. Is Jesus who he says he is? You see, Jesus had a lot of claims about who he was. You realize that Jesus spent 3 years in ministry here, and he gave us so many clues and so many proclamations of who he really was that I think lots of them we just look at and we just pass them over. By the way, if Jesus said he was one thing and then he was not that thing, you can cancel out everything else he said. Because if he said, I am this, but he was not, then that across the board, Jesus Christ becomes a fake and an imposter. So Jesus, when he said something about himself, it had to be the absolute truth and it had to be consistent with who he really was. Or he would be a fake. Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. And we're going to pick up a lot of John. So for the first part, the easy part is just make your way to John. We're going to see what Jesus said about himself. And I want you to write these down. And I want you to take them home. And I want you to look at them and look at them and look at them until you get at least 4 or 5 of these. So that when someone says, was Jesus really this? You can say, yes. And in this passage, Jesus said he was that. And there's no place that says he wasn't that. We got to get this. Because it's that important. Number one, Jesus said that he himself was sent by God. Turn to John chapter 4. Go to verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. John 4, verse 34. Jesus has just proclaimed that he was sent from God. That would be a claim that Jesus made about himself. I, Jesus speaking, says, I was sent from God. Now, God sends a lot of people, but here Jesus Christ says, I was sent from God. So get the first one down. Jesus Christ has made this proclamation. I, myself, Jesus, was sent from the Father. That's one. Number two. Jesus Christ declared himself to be the Son of God. Now, I think maybe in passing, in conversations, we say, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then somebody says, well, how can you prove that? Well, that's what Scripture says. Somewhere in the Bible, it says that. Turn to John chapter 5. You just got to flip a page. John chapter 5, verse 17. But he answered them, red letters, which means Jesus says this, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. But let's continue. Verse 18. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus Christ now says, I am the Son of God. And that messes a lot of people up. And it did even in the day in which Jesus spoke it. Jesus is now claiming to be the very Son of God. He was sent from the Father. He claims to be the Son of God. Number 3, John chapter 10, verse 30. And I'm going to tell you, circle this one, underline it, put a star beside it. You can memorize this verse in addition to the other one that you have memorized, or your other 25. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Pretty easy. Just a few words and you got this one. I and the Father are one. Now, what does that say about the person of Jesus Christ? Come on, what's it say? He says he is God. That's what he's saying. I and the Father are one. Now, the Jews looked at God the Father as God, Yahweh. They couldn't even pronounce it. And what Jesus has just proclaimed is, me and him, we're one. No wonder Jesus had the ability to tick the Jews off. He just has said he is God. That's a pretty bold statement. Jesus now proclaims that he is the bread of life. John chapter 6. You know, in your memorization repertoire, this would be another good one. John chapter 6, verse 48. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now, that may not seem like a big deal, but what Jesus Christ has now said is, I am the bread of life. Now, think about what he has just proclaimed. You know, to live, there are certain things that you have to have. You have to have air, you have to have water, and you have to have food. And Jesus has just said, I am your food. I am what sustains you. I am what is required for you to continue life. I am the bread of life. Air, food, and water. John chapter 4, verse 9. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? Okay, first of all, in this event, in this situation that has happened, Jesus has made two big faux pas. Jesus has sort of messed up twice here. Look at this. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? Jesus socially has messed up twice. By the way, keep this in mind. Jesus never messes up. This is on purpose that he has done this. The first thing is he has addressed a woman. You got to remember the culture. Guys just don't go up to women, and women just don't go up to guys. It has to be proper. Jesus has met her at the well. By the way, she came at a certain time of day, so there would be no one else there. And she runs into Jesus. One. The second one is he is a Jew. She is a Samaritan. They did not get along. Two times, Jesus has socially messed up. By the way, if you did not know this, if this may be the first time you've ever heard this, but Jesus Christ was a Jew. Okay? He was not an American. He was not Chinese. He was a Jew. Praise God for Israel. Okay? Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." If you need to know more, see me. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Jesus Christ is living water. He is living, he is active, he is always ongoing, he is present day, present time. He is all that we need. He is bread. He is water. That's what we need. Jesus Christ said, "This is who I am." Is he a fake? Is he an imposter? But Jesus is not done. John chapter 14, verse 6. This is another good one to memorize. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, Jesus Christ has just made the biggest proclamation of his life. What he says is, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father unless you come through me." So Jesus is basically saying this: if you want to get to God, you got to go through me. He's saying, "I'm the gate. I'm the only way that you can get to the Father. You got to go through me." It's not a matter of you living a good life. It's not a matter of, okay, well, if I live a good life and I give enough money to the church, see, that ain't going to work. It's the only way that you're going to get to the Father is through the person of Jesus. And by the way, there is no other way. Is he a fake? Or is he an imposter? Or is Jesus who he says he is? But here he proclaims, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. I am the resurrection and the life." And if we plan on making it to the Father, we have to go through Jesus. I am your resurrection. By the way, as Christians, you are to crucify the flesh and experience a new life. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Then you can write two more verses down. We won't turn there. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Jesus is now having the paralytic from Mark chapter 2 right in front of him. And what Jesus says is, "I forgive your sin." Now the guy can't walk, and Jesus seems to be concerned about the guy's sin. But the guy can't walk. And Jesus has now proclaimed in this story that "I myself can forgive sin." He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now Jesus has said, "I have the ability to forgive sins." Lastly, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Now what has Jesus just said? He has said, "I have all authority. You see, when somebody now challenges the person of Jesus Christ, now you have a list. Jesus said all of this, and he is absolute in all of those. Now, what do you think? Is Jesus Christ real? Is he who he says he is, or is he a fake? Jesus asked Peter, he said, "Who do people say that I am?" Some people say that Jesus Christ was a real good teacher. Would you agree? Certainly. He had to be absolute the best teacher ever. He had the ability to get his point across and you didn't even know he was making it. And then when it's all said and done, you're going, how could I have missed that one? He was a great teacher. Some people say that Jesus Christ was a real good person. Would you agree? He was a great person, wasn't he? How could you have somebody who loved and cared for people and showed mercy and compassion not be a good person? Jesus Christ was a good person. If you're in Islam, Islam said that Jesus was a prophet and a teacher. Would you agree? Yeah. Hindus say that Jesus was one of many ways to getting to heaven. Would you agree? No. There's not one of many ways into heaven. There is only one way into heaven. Do you remember? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But the Hindus say he's one of many ways of getting there. So now we come up to the person of Jesus Christ, and you have a question in front of you. Was he a fake, or is he who he says he is? There's only three possibilities. There's only three options. The first one is, Jesus is exactly who he says he is. That's one. That's one possibility, that Jesus is who he says he is. The second possibility is, Jesus Christ is a liar. That is a possibility. This Jesus who proclaimed what he did is either who he says he is or he is a liar. I'm just giving you the options. You see, if Jesus is a liar, he would have to know that he was a liar. The third possibility is Jesus was a nutcase. He was a lunatic. And he was actually delusional and actually believed everything that he said. You see, there's only three possibilities. Either he is the Son of God, he is a liar, or he is a lunatic. There's only those three options. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? If he is the Son of God, then all his proclamations have to be, all of them, the truth. If he misses one of them, then he's a liar or a lunatic. So every proclamation Jesus made has to be absolutely true. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? In the world in which we live in, let me ask you a question. Are you a gambler? Now, think about before you raise your hand or you don't. Are you a gambler? Because a gambler makes his statement and he gambles on it, that it is going to be that way. If you would ever, which you will not ever, buy a lottery ticket, you are gambling, are you not? You're giving money to take a chance that you'll get more. By the way, the state of Ohio is now considering and has started into process where gambling is now legal on all sports teams. That means professional and college and your high school. So now you place money on whether your team's going to win and by how much. If you do that, you are a gambler. You are gambling. You are throwing something out there in hopes of something else taking place. My question is, are you a gambler? In the person of Jesus Christ, what if Jesus is the Savior? What if he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords? What if he is the Son of God? What if he was sent by the Father? What if he is the only way? What if he possesses all authority? What if he is the bread of life and living water? And you are now convinced he is not. that would make you a gambler. And what are you gambling? Your very life. If you say Jesus Christ was not who he says he is, you're a gambler. And I'm telling you, if that's who you see Jesus as, I don't see it as a gamble. You're going to perish and spend eternity in hell. Because Jesus is who he says he is. You see, because of Jesus and who he says he is, it's now not just a, well, he was a great guy. It now becomes an eternity issue. Because he said, I am the resurrection. You see, now you could be gambling eternity away. But I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ is who he says he is, he can wipe away your painful past. If Jesus is who he says he is, he can wipe away all the guilt that we carry. If Jesus is who he says he is, he can wipe away all your sin. If Jesus is who he says he is, you can spend eternity in heaven with him. I'm going to go back to guilt because this bothers me. It's one of those things that just sort of, it's like a finger just keep punching you in the ribs. Does Jesus have the ability to forgive your sin? Where did he do that? On the cross. So Jesus going to the cross and shedding his blood, he has now all authority and he can forgive your sin. As far as the east is from the west, he will remember your sin no more. Amen. Amen? When Jesus went to the cross, if he has the authority to forgive your sin and remember your sin no more, are you still living in guilt over the sins that you commit? Well, now think about this one. Because I find myself lots of times falling short. If Jesus can forgive your sin, does he also have the authority to forgive your guilt? Amen. Amen. Jesus went to the cross so that you are not guilty. But yet we as people live in guilt of what we have done. We sin, then we go and we say, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And God at that point forgives you and he forgets. Who's the one who lives in guilt? You. Yeah, we do. Why? If Jesus has the ability to forgive your sin, doesn't he have the ability to forgive your guilt? Why are we living in guilt? Because he doesn't want you there. That's a pity party. And he wants us thinking about him and what he has done, not living in guilt. Now, do you remember your sin? God does not remember our sin as far as the east is from west, and I think that's good. But at the same point, do I remember my sin? You betcha. Why? What possible good does it remember? Does it cause me when I remember my sin? So that I don't do it again. But folks, it's time to get rid of the guilt. When you sin, ask forgiveness and get it away from you. Move on. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus has just now proclaimed to us over and over and over who he is. And now you can defend it. And if you need, carry that paper with you. Matthew chapter 16. There's something quite interesting in this passage of Scripture. Because this passage of Scripture, Jesus is not saying who he is. Matthew chapter 16. Go to verse 13. Look at me when you're there. Good. Verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He has just asked the very question I have. Is Jesus who he says he is? Who do people say that Jesus is? Look what he says. And they said, some say John the Baptist. I got news for you. Jesus Christ was not John the Baptist. And others say Elijah. Got news for you. He's not Elijah. But still others, Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. You starting to see a sequence here? Jesus was not John the Baptist. He was not Elijah. He would not be Jeremiah or any of the other prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus has said, I am this, I am this, I am this, I am this. And here now Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What an awesome revelation. What an awesome time to be Peter. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Is he a fake? Or is he who he says he is? I want to read one more passage of Scripture, and I think it's fitting. It's from the Gospel of John. Turn to John. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, when was that? It was in the beginning. Whenever it was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Your Word is capitalized. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. By the way, if there's two people that come in on your door and say, do you believe in Jesus? Do you want to spend eternity in heaven? First of all, have your guard up. Second of all, ask them what material they're going to give you. And if it has anything to do with a tower, they're going to bring this verse up to you. But they have it translated wrong. There is no A in there. Because their version says, and the Word was a God. That's not the way it's translated. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. If you take God at His word and you're looking at this passage of Scripture, you have to believe that Jesus Christ was in the beginning. Where was the beginning? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What this says is the Word was there. And the Word was always been there. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. By the way, it says his name was John. It does not say his name was Jesus. So Jesus can't be John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but He came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were of His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Isn't it funny when Nicodemus comes to Jesus? And he says, what must you do to be born again? Here it is. be born of God. Verse 14, circle it, highlight it, underline it. And the Word, capital, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we call His name Jesus. Is Jesus a fake? Jesus is exactly who He says He is. Sent from the Father, the very Son of God, sent to you. It may be that you have been searching for something in this world. I'm telling you, you have found Him. All you need in this world is the person of Jesus Christ. Everything is in Him. Your life is in Him. Your existence is in Him. He is exactly who He says to be. He is the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ will never, ever disappoint or fall short, because He is God. Amen? The exact moment in time Jesus came here, it was the exact method that He would come here. It was the perfect, exact message that Jesus Christ preached consistently throughout the Bible, was the message of love. And it was through the exact person of God Himself, the person of Jesus Christ. Perfect. You can't make it better than the person of Jesus Christ. Now you're realizing that you need to come on Christmas Eve, the candlelight service, to find out the conclusion of this series. 6 o'clock, Friday evening.